Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made. Amen, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. You got good reason. If you can hear me now, see me now, you got great reason to be joyful and to praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to another exciting training day episode. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a day that the Lord has made. That you know, I tell you, it's really wonderful as we move into these last or these end of days period of time, something that's been thought about, wondered about, amen, talked about, preached about, taught about, and now we're really heading there. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. Amen. Pastor O, amen, and his lovely wife and my friends and the saints at Run for Christ Ministry. Amen. And all the different churches and friends that are listening, I say praise the Lord. You know, amen, it's been a little while since I've been here. I had some domestic issues that I got caught up in last week, but amen, that's part of what is going on. I'm still talking about the subject of spiritual warfare, which is what this life is about. And if you've been following Training Day, for those that are new, because I just met some people today, amen, Training Day is about a perspective of seeing life as preparation for the life that begins when Jesus comes back, more so even for this life. This life trains us for the next life. This life decides, is where the decision is made, who's going to be into the next life, because the power level of a human being, it goes to a level that we can't really comprehend. I mean, you really got to take a close look at what is really going on. I mean, you know, I've been around a lot of medical people lately, and I'm telling them, you know, you see through a microscope something so fantastic that most people never really get to watch. Our generation is the first generation to really get a total view of mankind. When you think about it, you look at your flesh in the mirror and remember, it began as a pile of dirt that God scooped up off the ground and put his intelligence in it. And the magnitude of that, think about it, it had to formulate all the cellular structures that you see, with all the organs that are within you, with all the memory, sensory, synapses, and all those terms that they use to discover how we function, that all happened in a millisecond when God made Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7. We look at that and we think about it and we don't really see how the magnitude of that. And this is why I make this statement that with Adam, if God had not created what is called a soulless realm, which would be the outline of your body and all that's within, Adam would have been equal to God, because God can't make a lesser spirit. We're not like angels. We're above them. We have a different level, and that is why we have to learn all these different aspects of life that they never had to learn. Angels have never been in love like we have. They've never experienced the things that we have. You know, I know there's stories that they have. They may have observed and think they could, but they don't. They don't have. Angels ain't never had an orgasm. Angels ain't never, well, they might experience the pain when they go to hell, but they don't know what this life is like. They don't know what cold is like, really, like we know cold. They don't, they've never experienced frostbite. They've never experienced sunburn. They don't know these things like we do. They have never experienced being hungry, starving, being too full, being too fat, being overweight, being underweight. They have never had those experiences. They can merely observe them. Even inside of a human body, they can. It's not that easy for them to just go in and assimilate a human being. It's not. It isn't what you think. People like to think it is, but it's not. You know. I for a while here, I kept on hearing this story of the Book of Enoch. So I started reading, and I'm gonna tell you, when I come to read things, I seek God about it, and if he say read it, read it. If he say stop, stop. Amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Let's bring God into this equation. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you, for this is a day that you have made, brand new, never been used before, for us to benefit and to gain more revelation that you desire for us to have. Father God, I ask you, bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory and inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you would touch the heart of the bereaved, strengthen them with might in their inner man as the challenges they face going forward, but bless them to know those that have accepted Christ, amen, are soon to be reunited with all those that have gone on, and they will meet even those they've never met before. Father God, we're asking that you would give us the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that you would have me to sing. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We started out this a couple of weeks ago. Amen. If you go to my website, millennialkingdomtraining.com, you can listen to it, or you can go to YouTube. Our overall senior, one word, our overall SR, and it'll come up on YouTube. Because the point is I'm even though my primary objective is the millennials and the Gen Zs and the Gen, even the Gen Xs, because it's really for anybody that plans to go forward to eternal life in the kingdom of God. You know, we've had quote-unquote religion for so long that when we find out it's not religion, I've seen battles over that, people trying to keep religion. This is why you see some of these what I call institutional churches, and now you even have the franchise churches, because they promote religion. They don't give people I was listening to a commentator, a particular man of God, and he was talking about the prosperity gospel, you know, and you know, you kind of have to blame them, the people that teach part teach it, they show excerpts about it, and it leaves people thinking that that's what they're teaching only. But, you know, when you get the whole, back then it was a 6-CD set. When you got the 6-CD set, the other 5 CDs would share the things, your role in accomplishing the prosperity. It wasn't like that. It wasn't as simple as you throw money in the pot in the offering plate and it goes by, and you sit back and hold your hands out and God gonna drop some in your hands. They go into the same thing that you hear Paul talks about. You have to quit lying, stealing, cheating, hating, and all those things. See, you know, when you hear the whole God, because all the promises of God work that way. Everything about God works that way. Prayer works that way. This is why people fail at it, and a lot of people make assumptions. The Bible, you know, people like to say man wrote it, but that anytime I hear someone say that, I know they haven't read it. They haven't even read the whole New Testament. There's things in there, particularly love, man would not put in there. And that is one of the key weapons of warfare. Understand what this is about. This is not about, I'm not saying that you're supposed to sit around waiting for the devil to attack and then you go after him because he's going to attack. But you need to know how he attacks, and you need to know what God expects you to do in response. Now, that's the key. That's the distinct difference that separates Christianity from most common thinking. Okay, you have to lend your mind to that aspect. You have to, and you cannot do that, absolutely cannot do that if you don't know what the words say. You don't have a response. You know, anything that you train for, you train based on, they give you a manual, and the manual has in it responses, how you're supposed to act or react to certain situations. That's how law works. That's how everything works. That's how business works. And the key factor here, if you grasp this, you will have a prosperous business. You will have a prosperous, because see, a lot of this, what I'm sharing with you, was shared with me. Even though the Bible was the completion of it was written was a 2,000 years ago, understanding this took a process, took time. Okay, let's go back to our focus scripture, and you'll see what it kind of give you an idea what I'm talking about. I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read starting with verse 3. Now I'm reading out of KJV because I want you to get the original of the thought concept. Understand that the King James was copied or drafted or converted from the original Greek. Okay. You know, as per se, other parts. So it didn't leave nothing out, much out. And there's been many changes over the years, so they say. But the basics, the most accurate perception of it, and is what you get in the KJV. It doesn't attempt to soften the blow of the reality, because the reality is this: you are a spirit being. You have a mind, will, and emotion. That's what's expressed in life. And you live in a body. And you need to understand that God holds you accountable for that. What goes on outside, what you do with your mind, will, and emotion, and body, he holds you accountable to that. And this is why the Bible is a big, somebody coined it as an acronym. They say basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, now Paul, listen to this conversation here. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Again, because I got new people, the Corinthians were Gentiles, or basically a culture of people that were not taught about the one single true and the living God. They had a multitude of beliefs and systems, and they were a highly educated people. And nothing has changed in that aspect, as you have college professors now that try to say that life is just an accident with a purpose, and that you've never seen any remnants. You haven't seen any evidence of that. I've never seen a car accident produce a new car. I've never seen a plane crash produce a new plane or anything of that nature. And I've never seen an explosion build a car, build a house, or build a mountain. It's always been destructive. So, I it amazed me. It takes more to believe that than in the beginning. Plus, you can reach out to God. When you're talking about having Christ, that's a word that's a word with a summation. For a person to try to put a single definition on Christ is, I would say, an error. Because Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a much, much deeper than that. And this is why, because when you see Christ, you have to realize that it is always one of the areas it is talking about. It's talking about authority that God gave Jesus in the earth. I believe it's in Matthew 28:18. He said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me." Okay, that's a distinctly different before he died. He wasn't called Lord Jesus Christ before he died. It was after he was resurrected. And then his name had omnipresent power. At the time he was on earth before his death, his name, did not have. In other words, if you had been in America, he would have to send his authority to America. As per se now, wherever a Christian is, his authority is in the earth. That's a very deep subject. I hope one day to get into that. It's because, again, this is why you have to get into the Word. You have to sit and listen. Meditating is when you read the Word, pray, read the Word, and sit and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Because it's not that simple, even though it is. It's kind of an oxymoron. All right. Now, so Paul is talking about though we walk in the flesh. In other words, our instincts and our responses to personal relationships in any aspect of our life, we do not conduct it in the same way that the world does. If you think back, or I would refer back to a statement I said that, you know, I saw a movie on TV, a TV series, where these thieves that are professionals stole from people that steal. Now, under the kingdom of God, that's not right, period. There's God right and there's man right. Now, that might seem like a good idea, and they might pat people on the back, and I'm pretty sure there are people that do that, that think doing a good is a good, no matter what it is. But not with God, because it comes down to this. God is looking for people that are going to do what he say, how he say. He's planning on expanding and using us throughout the universe, again, with the same level of power that Jesus has right now. And you have to refer back to some of the earlier messages that I talk about in different messages that I have to get an understanding of that, particularly where I talked about what he meant in 1 John 3, and John talked about it in 1 John 3:2, which is the base scripture for training day. Okay? Now, 1 John 3:2 and Philippians 3:20. Now, he said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." In other words, they're not man-made. They're not based on man, human reasoning. Now, understand again the culture back then. They had the same, much of what we had now. They had an education system. And they did some research, but what they did not know is that they could reach out and ask God questions or get answers. Okay? Because, again, this is not an accident. God did this on purpose. When he made Adam, he knew what he was doing. Adam's name actually means mankind. Okay? Now, we're going to look at what he talked about. He said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." So now, the warfare is, again, just that instant I just used. If you're in business and your business starts, like now, a lot of businesses are experiencing tight or reduced sales, and it's causing challenges. And I'm sure Satan is offering them different types of opportunities to cut corners and to make ends meet. And in their mind, he even feed in their mind the justification based on the fact of the economy. And see, and that's the thing you have to be aware of, because this is what he's talking about in verse 5. He said, casting down imaginations. Now, imaginations is contemplations, you know, things that you think about. The word is logismos or logismos. I'm not a Greek scholar. Reckonings, computations. You're taking all the situation, you're taking all the elements, you're taking all the events, and then you come up with what you believe is a solution. Well, you see, understand, Satan has he will feed you information. All he feeds you is thoughts. Now, they had a disadvantage back then by not having what we have. You know, even right now on my computer screens, three different Bibles, and in front of me is a printout of some Bible scriptures, and I have five Bibles on my telephone, on my cell phone. I have about 20 commentaries, which was really kind of unique. But it also talks about the fact of the evolvement spiritually of mankind. Okay, so they were at a disadvantage, but when you're in a disadvantaged situation like that, as they are like now in countries like China, Pakistan, India, and Syria, God will reach, he will reach across the line. Because I remember back when I first got delivered, when I really started getting serious about God, that he would quote scripture before I even read it in the Bible. I mean, there was a guy when I was at work, he was challenging me, he was throwing questions at me, and I told him, I get back with you, I was going to go home and study and seek it out. And the Lord just spoke the scripture, I spoke the scripture in my heart, and I looked it up in the Bible, and it was a perfect scripture that he could not debate, you know, and that blew my mind. Because I remember one of the first experiences I had was the fact of the Holy Spirit talking to you. I mean, verbally, he talks to you. He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a something. No, something told me. He's not a something. Something is the Spirit of God. That's the closest. That's the only way you could accurately call him a something, something of the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of God something. But because now back then, this book, the Book of Corinthians, Paul wrote this. I mean, he was getting it hot off the press. So some things that we understand now, because we've had 2,000 years to practice that, and we still, it's obviously we understand it is very little, you know, because of the fact that we are not just one united body. We should not have all these different variations of denomination, and you know, that speaks of separatism, which is against the body of Christ, which is against the Word of God. All right. He said, casting down imagination. Now, in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I just, you know, I dropped a university class, you know, on paleoanthropology. You know, I mean, the fact is they skipped over the fact. It used to be they said that man came from an amoeba, and then he became this frog-looking creature, and then he grew legs, and then he evolved into an ape. Well, DNA tests have scratched that and made it impossible for man to have become a descendant of any animal. So it's similarities, but see, this is not a new thought. When you go back and you look at history, when you look at other cultures, what do you see? With the Egyptians, you see, they have these gods with these animal heads, which is to me of the extreme retardedness. I mean, why would I want to put putting a human head on an animal, but I can't see it putting me worshiping something with a horse head or jackass head. That's, you know, jackass. But That doesn't even make sense. If they locked you up, they did was kind of how I would have been refuting that, which is how I believe Abraham came to the knowledge. He kept looking at this and looking at it. He came from a culture that was much like India, where they had a bunch of gods. You know, everybody had their own god, and he's like, you know, this got to be something else. And he found out, and that's the key. You gotta speak out to God. You gotta seek out God. You gotta pray, and you gotta ask God and believe God. Because I got a series called "Why God Let the Devil Exist." That came. I asked the question, and it took, I don't know, if it took a month or so. You know, God don't have a watch or a calendar. And he sticks with his calendar, and when he get around to it, and he started downloading the information, and it made sense to me because whatever God gives you. Will never violate his word, will be in his word. Will never violate his word, will be in his word. And it was as simple as, God can't lie, so how am I going to know what a lie is? He had to let a liar loose. He had control of it. It's a controlled environment. If it was not a controlled environment, we would not be having this conversation. Satan is a murderer. It's in his nature. He don't feel bad when he kills people. That's why he has no problem aborting children. It doesn't bother him at all. Okay? They're a threat to him. He don't know. He know they're not going to grow up. There's a great probability they will not grow up to be his buddy, so he try to kill them as many as possible. But anyway, it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself. Okay, I get this. The Bible, the book of Proverbs, tell you repeatedly to get an education, get knowledge, but it tells you to get wisdom, which is the right use and the right understanding of knowledge. And that can't happen without you going to God. This is what Solomon did. But anyway, this is what he did. This is how he got there. He went to the best universities they had back in this day. As soon as he graduated, the first thing he asked God for was wisdom. I need God. I need to know how to use this information. They give you the information, but how to use it? The man came out. He was a leader of a nation. I mean, I see people struggling with that now. Look at this country. I mean, look at the world, what they're going through now. All right, casting down in the night. It says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, that you have to have the knowledge of God, which means you got to go back. In that case, Nathan, and I recommend this, read the book of Proverbs. A proverb a day, a chapter of proverb a day will help you keep the devil away, I guarantee you. Because it speaks a lot about how you manage your mind, your will, and your emotions in every aspect of life. That book is very detailed. These have been written by Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes. Those are the foundation scripture that they use in order for them to teach what we are being taught today. Pretty much anything in the New Testament that is taught will be backed up by is written in the Old Testament. All right. Against the knowledge of God. Now, again, you're talking about a culture that was much like today, had no knowledge of God. So that was going to come and see. Judaism, as it were, it was basically an identification of a person that believed in the single, one, true and living God known to be the creator of all that exists. When Paul quoted, I believe, on Mars Hill, in him I live and move and have my, no, in him I live and move and have my very being. These things were known, but you only get this by revelation from God, okay? I don't want to get too far off into that. But bottom line is, today, there's no excuse for not having the knowledge of God because it's written in his word. Now, if you're new in Christ, this is another reason why you need to go to church, and hopefully you go to a church where they have ministers that actually read the Bible. As they say, go to a Bible-believing church. Don't just walk up in any church because you like it, you like the people. No, you're there to learn of God. You're not, this is another thing, you're not there to be the pastor's friend, okay? You know, I don't know. I don't get that. Maybe that's just people's nature. But I used to have. It's amazing. I always wind up, seem like wind up close to a pastor, and I would be trying to hide from him. You know, it was just something I just thought. I don't know. I just thought they had them piercing eyes. Anyway, so, but it says casting down imagination and bringing now and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, where you gonna bring it? If you only know what you know. Where are you going to bring it? What to you will signify that it's in captivity to the knowledge of Christ? What would make you think your thought other than you have the word? For instance, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Okay? So, look what he's saying. Consider it pure joy. Wait a minute. Now, somebody getting in your nerves. Somebody, you've been denied a promotion. Your wife just decided to go on strike. You fill in the blanks. You stop cooking, stop washing, whatever. Your kids are nutting up. And you have to respond to that. And believe me, having worked 31 years in law enforcement, I've seen when people did not respond. You're probably seeing it. If you watch the news, you're seeing people now here in Detroit, you're seeing these road rage incidents, okay? And on both sides, the victim and the perpetrator. The perpetrator, for whatever reason, you know, you had this crew that was going around. They would drive with their lights off, and if you flash your lights, you know, the signal to let somebody know that their lights was off was you would flick your lights on and off to let them know their lights were not on so that they wouldn't get stopped by the police. And what these people were doing was when somebody flicked them, they'd turn around and go shoot at the person. Now, our response is understanding our authority in Christ. First off, I will say this as many times as possible, never leave home without commanding the angels. Now, I'm still learning this angel thing, really, because I would command humongous numbers of angels, and that didn't take all that, so I've been told. But now I command them in numbers, a dozen. You only need a dozen angels is enough. But I found through situations that I've had to go through and places I've had to go to that the reason I was able to get in there and get out safely was because I had a dozen angels with me, not just one. You know, if you got one, we know to have one, but what if Satan sent 10? And you got to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you cannot command angels if you have never received Christ as Savior, which I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this. Because you can only do what the head does. Matthew 26:53, the head said he could command angels. So if the head, who is Jesus, can command angels, you, which are the body, can command angels. And again, this is part of your training. Because you're going to be doing this eternally, not just temporarily. This is not just for you to get through to the eternal, just to get through to the next phase to heaven. Heaven is a temporary place. We're going to come back down, be down here for 1,000 years for the new people. So, but again, that response right there is not a typical response for a human being. And if you really want to understand how love works and how God's mind works, I heard this preacher say, and you know, I don't debate it because it fits God's forte, and that is God's revenge is taking the perpetrator and taking control of his life. So when he say vengeance is his, he'd rather us pray for that person so that he can deliver that person and take them from the kingdom of Satan and bring them into his kingdom. See, it's that being consistent and constantly mindful of God's objective and not our own. Okay? And it's easy to do because life is going to throw challenges. Why? You know, I believe it anyway, I know in the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talked about the fact that when you have an angel, they come with you, assigned to you when you come out of your mother's womb, a angel. Okay, now you're a bad dude, but, you know, you had a limitation, obviously. but the responses that we have to be in consistent with being thinking over. They used to have a saying back, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and it made sense. But I also, when I heard people, I've seen the wristbands that had WWJD, and I'm like, and I asked, and it said, what would Jesus do? Well, you can't do what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus would do, which is what the words say. He said, I always do what my Father say. I always do what my Father say. I can't say that. I always correct myself when I find myself wrong. And you're going to get challenged. Because you'll go through experiences of stack attacks. So, again, you can't cast down an imagination of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God if you can't bring it into captivity if you don't know what you're putting it into captivity of. You don't know what you're going, how you're going to rope it, what you're going to use to establish it. You only have the Word of God. You only have the Word of God. Okay. Now, in verse 6, is really, I found interesting, and it says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, I like to get other people's opinions, you know, in this case. This is what you have. It's called Bible commentaries. And nowadays, you know, I have a Bible called Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, and you can download it free, but you have to pay for the commentaries. It's only $10. I mean, $10 will get you a whole lot of information. But anyway, it allows you to see what it is with commentaries is, for the most part, some of the most renowned commentators, like Albert Barnes and Matthew Henry, wrote in a different era, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800 years ago, but you will find that much of what we teach today, there is consistency in that teaching. However, there are some areas, because again, mind you, they didn't have what I have. They didn't have the teachers that we have. They didn't have a weekly class going through the Bible step by step as we have. They were still just spreading the gospel. So they could only share. They could share what they had, and then they left someone in charge, what we commonly refer to as a pastor now, the congregation. And it was incumbent upon the pastor to go to God and pray and get revelation on the word that he had. All right. So I'd say condemning what they have or disagree even with what they're saying, but I want you to get this. I hope I interpret this up. Anyway, bottom line is the having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. You know, you had a situation in Corinth where this young man, just show you how different it was sleeping with his father's stepwife, wife. She was even a wife, even though it was his stepmother. It was, well, I don't know if it was or not. I'm just telling you what the teachers say they wrote down. But either way it go, that marriage restrictions for us are limited to us in Leviticus chapter 18, if you're interested, and you should be interested. You should have that information because I'm seeing a rise now, and actually people will be shocked at what God actually allows, okay? You know, I believe it's second-generation cousins. You read Leviticus chapter 18. I know you can't. You can't have sex with your mother and your sister. That's incest out and out. That's incest according to God. Because in the state of Michigan where I live, back, I believe, in 1975, they had repealed incest law. And that came to light when a young man on the west side of the state, even though he was an impoverished person and he had a they knew then as a wife, and they had six children, but they later learned that that woman that they knew was his wife was actually his sister. They locked him up under the guise that he was committing incest. However, his attorney had produced the fact that incest in Michigan had been repealed. So anyway, he was living in a school bus that had converted as a trailer, so he now has a home, but still, see, this is, again, why you have to really know the word of God, because the government is you can't go to God and say, well, the government allows this. It does not matter. Your line is drawn where the word of God draws the line. And that's a reality that you have to deal with, because, again, God is looking for people that he can distribute through the universe that are submissive to him, that will only carry out his will as Jesus only carried out his will. When you look at it in that perspective, everything you hear concerning the word of God, everything you have been taught, everything you will be taught will line up. It will make sense. It won't be just a bunch of rules that people are trying to make you live with, that you would measure. What people usually do is measure that to see whether or not they are worthy of going to heaven. It ain't about that. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make it easy for you. Without Jesus, you are not worthy. And with Jesus, you're only worthy because of Jesus. That's it. Because left to yourself, you would think as you do. You would think as you do. Believe me. It's a challenge. You know, because you're going to, listen, if we were going to be perfect, the word mercy, forgive, all that wouldn't been in God's vernacular. Again, we were not going to be perfect. Situation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19 or 20, it said that Jesus, when he come back, going to rule with a rod of iron. Now think about that, now. Think about that. The devil is locked up for 1,000 years, so he's not provoking people to act ignorant. Ignorant is when there is knowledge available and you don't utilize it, okay? He is not provoking. He's locked up. So why you would think he would be able to rule with a flower or a wheat strand or something? Why rule about? Because he ain't going to be tolerating no stuff. Why? Because the power level will be at an extreme. Correction will be immediate. Believe me. That is it. Listen, God does everything with a reason. Don't take my opinion. Ask God why it is 1,000 years. Why he is not bringing it. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, he brings in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, in logic, it would seem like he would do that right at the point of the rapture. Just why cancel it? Why go through the 7 years tribulation? You already made a selection. Boom, done. Go from there. Why not? Why go through these extra steps of 1,000 years? Ask God about it. I would be interested. Send me an email, 7training day@gmail.com. I want to know what you come up with. If it ain't another training period, but you had the full level of power. You had the power, of being able to travel to Mars at the speed of thought and not burn up like a match. I mean, you got to calculate everything that's involved with what I just said. That is not something simple. It's like, boom, we poof, we there. No, you're moving through. There's if you go back to your old studies in school about the laws of matter, there's no emptiness. You're going to be moving through something molecular at the speed of thought, and you won't burn up. TV, you got to really see this for what it is. Man is much, 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 much more than when you get a credit for, which is why God is so demanding, which is why the word of God is written, which is why we have to learn this way. This sanctified way is not a religious way. It's a way of saying I'm submissive to God, and when I'm not submissive to God, I'll realign myself as soon as I discover it. believe me, this is not religion at all. It seems like it is with the term we use. You talk about Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You know, yeah, that makes it sound like it's religious, but it's not. That's the only way of life there is. There won't be no alternatives when Jesus come back. So, you know, it really is deep. All right? Now, one of the commentators talked about when Paul was talking about having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Remember, I was talking about the young man that had sex with his mother, and Paul told him to turn such a one. If he didn't repent, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Bottom line was, you know, or they excommunicated the guy, put him out of church, or made him sit at the back of the church, and nobody had conversation with him. Now, that seemed like a good idea at the time that happened, that would make him appreciate the fellowship of being in the midst of other Christians. But that won't always work. As a matter of fact, I don't think it ever works. Because if you put them out, they're going to get angry. And you got to remember that Satan is going to be feeding their mind. Look at how they do it. Yeah, they going to put you out because of what you did. What about the stuff they've been doing? Yabbity, 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 yabbity. You know Satan is going to be filling his mind with all that. And odds are what you're going to get is probably another fake religion starting in opposition to the truth, which is probably how you get a lot of religions. Now, on the other hand, when you use love, as Paul said, the irony is which is amazing when the commentators brought that issue up, they overlooked. Look at this, what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now, grieving the Holy Spirit, which means you can't, if you've heard that the Holy, excuse me, if you've heard that the Holy Spirit is a thing and not a person, you explain to me how a thing can get his feelings hurt. I don't know how that can be. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave you. Now, I'm of the mind, and haven't had that experience and haven't been on both sides of that, you know, the person, the counselor and the person in need of counseling, I would think it would be more beneficial to educate the person into the things of God, which they obviously, this young man, did not know, before I would cast him to the side and make him a victim. He will become angry. I can imagine. You've been with people. Remember, you're dealing with a human being. So I really, and that was written by, you know, Albert Barnes back in late 1700s. He lived from 1798 to 1870. And I get that because if you go back and you look at Christian culture back then, it was brutal. You know, I think he was close back. No, they had come to America. No, they had passed through that phase of where they were burning people. You know, I've read one commentary where it said the people that they were, some of the people they burned as witches was actually Christians that they caught speaking in tongues. You know, you have had this doctrine. It's called the doctrine of cessation, where there are those that believe that the Bible, the things of the Bible concluded when the apostles disappeared. But I don't have no scripture for that. And I've seen miracles. I've experienced miracles. So to tell me God isn't doing miracles, I just know you didn't take that issue to God. And I'm a person to take all issues to God. Okay? Now, again, what is God's bottom line? What is God's objective? He's not out to lose. This is not some video game of entertainment for him, for us to just go into battle with Satan. You know, what is it, War of the Worlds or whatever they call them, video games. God is not entertaining himself. He fully realizes that he has created mankind. He fully realizes that he has created gods with a small g, spirit persons with a small s, and they must learn to understand to do things in the manner that he would. He even went so far as to demonstrate this in, by coming down and manifesting himself in flesh. Now, I know people, I don't get the battle. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. Now, how much easier, how much, what does he have to do? Give you a biological diagram or witness or play you back a video? It said that great is the mystery of godliness. God was seen of angels, priests unto Gentiles. Come on, now. It's saying that plain, but where do you get the revelation? Before you go off and argue your debate, you have to be able to say you asked God about it. Because God will tell you. I'm telling you. That's how we get this revelation. That's how we're learning things about this. This is why I believe in training day. I didn't, you know, I asked God about the teachings of a man, a Chinese man, that he taught, I'm struggling to remember his name. Help me, Holy Ghost. He was teaching this from 1900 to 1940s, okay? And just as I, you know, was and it's really a message, just as I was facing challenges with it, speaking about it. It was all right, kept to myself. And as Paul said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you want to keep things to yourself, and you feel this feeling you get that you know is negative in you. You know, kind you get when you tell a lie, you know you should have told the truth. You'll get that when you don't do what God said do in a particular situation that you didn't want to receive or experience the negative response that you know was going to come. But that right there is where you begin to, where the rubber meets the road. This thing is, again, it's about doing what God says do, how he says to do it in every situation. Some situations you will find yourself repeating because you didn't get it right the first time, and you'll keep going through it. People talk about that. It's just about going through the same test until they get it, and to the point that they get it, to the point that they don't have a problem with it. Go through that process. That's how we all evolved that way. Nobody jumped up one day, had this thing down packed, except Jesus. And that's because he knew the story. He came down from glory. He came from heaven to earth. He didn't start out here. He came from heaven to earth and then back to heaven. See? So we're learning these things. This is what John is talking about. Although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. But we have to illustrate that we're willing to be submissive to God. We're willing to learn to do things his way. You know, it's challenging because you're going to have to pray for people that you want to shoot. You know, you're going to pray for people you want to hate. And you got to grab your emotions, grab the energy of your emotions, channel them, bring them into submission, and do what the words say do. You know, Galatians 6:1, you know, if a brother's taken in a fall, you with your spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Okay? You know, you get better at it. I'll put it like this. If you let God have his way, you will get better at it, because at the bottom line, this is what you want. This is what makes it easy for me. It pleases God. You know, and those are the challenges, some of the strongholds, and I'm about to conclude this now. One of the strongholds that Satan uses is pride. And if I get to continue this next week, that's what I'm going to pick up, pride. Because right now, that's what is killing a lot of people. You know, pride. It's a young man getting ready to go to jail right now. Why? Because of his pride. You know, the Bible doesn't have anything good to say about pride. Matter of fact, God, he has a lot of negative things to say about pride. But it's a weapon. Why? Because it's an emotion. Why? Because you're thinking about what people think about you. Listen, they ain't paying your bills. They ain't got your life. They can't meet your need according to their riches and glory. They don't have, you don't have a covenant with them. You know, and the same people that you trying to please, they're going to be the same when no matter what you do, they're going to have something negative to say. You do the right thing, they got something negative to say. You do the wrong thing, they got something negative to say. You cannot lend yourself to that foolishness, all right? You have to cast down that imagination, but you must have what you're going to have in readiness to revenge all disobedience. What you're going to have in readiness is the word of God, the experience of this life in Christ. See, I understand love based on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. So I can teach that to somebody that is struggling with that, the young men that are going dealing with marriage. Believe me, it was an older man that taught me, he was older than me, about that and what it meant. And that changed everything for me because it became something I applied to every situation, not just my marriage. See, and once you get to the place that is this all right with you, God, your life's a lot more comfortable. And you just make yourself, you don't feel the stress. I don't care what other people think. I care what God thinks. And then if I can see him, they ain't God. And I've never seen Jesus face to face, but I just know they ain't God, you know. But anyway, I hope I said something, amen, to at least get you thinking. I did touch a little bit on my notes, you know. But you really, particularly now, you can see in the world, there's a lot of things that are happening in every situation. You always want to. You want to start becoming more sensitive to God because he has an answer. I mean, I think back to this lady. They were faced with a situation where they whole city got flooded, and I see a lot of that is happening now. If you go on YouTube and look at the floods around the world, a lot of that is happening. God will give you a plan to deal with that one way or the other, or either how to prevent it or how to escape it. You make a way of escape. That's what his words say. But anyway, God can't do that if you don't have a relationship with him, and that can only be accomplished through Jesus Christ. You know, you got to understand that we as humans are not perfect creatures. You know, we strive to be. And the word says we should be. It said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. But the best thing, you can't get there without Jesus. You need power. You need power over the devil. And you can't have power over the devil. You can't outthink him, outsmart him without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can't get the Holy Spirit. You need the blood of Jesus to cover your spirit so that the power of God can connect between the two of you. That's what happens when you accept Christ as your Savior. See, his spirit has that authority and ability to fill the gap between you and heaven. And so all you need to do is believe this prayer, say this prayer and believe it, say, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that he died for me on Calvary's tree, bearing my sins for me. And I believe that he died and rose from the grave and is alive right now. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again. Amen. And if you have already received Christ and you backslidden and you got your feelings hurt or whatever reason that you chose to walk away from God, just simply ask, Lord God, forgive me for my sin. I believe you according to your word, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And just believe that. And read the word. 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 Listen, what God wants you to know, I call it 3D-ing. He will highlight it on the page and begin to speak through you. But he can't speak to you without the Holy Spirit, and you can't get the Holy Spirit without Jesus. So you just did that if you prayed that prayer. And believe this, and know this, that prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.